from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up, Gabe? Doing all right over here. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm paying attention to Big Ten Media Days. USC, UCLA, and Iowa leading the day. That's fun. Yeah. That's fun.
Lincoln Riley saying that perhaps they won't continue playing Notre Dame, or insinuating that perhaps they won't play Notre Dame in the future. That's buzzing right now.
Yeah, and then also he went after Alabama to a certain extent. He said they got out ahead of this thing, and they scheduled a win not to play premier opponents in the non-con.
Yeah, meanwhile, Alabama's going up to Wisconsin to play at Camp Randall this year, so maybe not the best time to trot out that comparison.
Yes, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. And also, you should probably learn from them. They have a tough schedule in the SEC. I don't think they'd really need to worry about non-con all that much.
Right, well, and is it going to be this way forever? Because he does have a point that in the past you wanted to schedule so that you could go undefeated, or schedule so that you could have only one loss. But we're about to enter a new era where there's going to be some hard decisions to make between teams that have two losses and teams that have three losses, and whether or not they're going to get into the playoff. And some of those decisions are going to come down to strength of schedule. And so if you're a USC and you schedule three crap non-conference opponents, and you're sitting there in a mess of teams that have two or three losses, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt like you would if you do play Notre Dame. So yeah. I do wonder how much having a stronger schedule might work to your benefit in the future of this new college football playoff that we're moving into.
Also, Lincoln Riley said, we're at the top of the Big Ten Conference. I don't ever look at ourselves below anybody, and I never will. Now, I will say, according to odds and just sort of looking at everything else, you are below people. Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, all favored to win the Big Ten over you. You're plus 2,500. I think he's going to have to get used to where he's at within this conference. He's been in the Big 12 at the top with Oklahoma. He was at the top in the Pac-12 with USC, even though they had a bad year last year. This is a different beast altogether, and I'm not sure, and I want your opinion on this. I have very serious doubts about them and the style of football they play in the Big 10.
I mean, there's some prognosticators that have placed Iowa ahead of
right.
USC. I mean, what an insult. What an insult to an offensive-oriented program like USC, and to Lincoln Riley, that this offensively anemic Iowa team is in some places getting picked to finish ahead of USC. Now, I realize part of that's due to the fact that Iowa has a favorable schedule, but nonetheless, the idea that USC is going to come in and really just be this breath of fresh air in the Big Ten and come in and own the thing is a little bit far-fetched.
I mean, buddy, can you run the ball and stop the run? That's it. That's how you win in the Big Ten, and that's not what USC does. It's not what they. It's not what Lincoln Riley ever really wants to do, and we'll see how it works out. Now, Iowa, speaking of Iowa, Kirk Ferentz stepped up to the mic, and he said that we have the potential to be a good offensive team. The team that was 130th out of 133 in scoring offense last year, he thinks they have the potential to be a quote-unquote good offensive team. I know they have a new OC, and it's no longer Brian Ferentz, who Iowa fans wanted to run off and did run off. Is this just him telling his story? I know that Jeffrey ended his show with Tell Your Story with this quote in particular.
I think you nailed it. I think there's a pretty good chance Iowa is going to be just the same version of Iowa, simply with a new man in the press box calling the plays, and that's pretty clearly, I think, what we're headed towards. And you know, it's worked for Kirk Ferentz for so long. I mean, he is the dean of college football coaches at this point. I think this is year 26 for Kirk Ferentz. And it's not broken to the point that it requires fixing. Like, obviously, if you were posting these results year in and year out at Michigan or at Ohio State or even Penn State, there would be a push to get him out of there. But when you win 10 games every other year and are always knocking on the door or playing in the Big Ten championship game, and you're perfectly secure in your position as a coach, there is no incentive to change things up and to get more dynamic and to take a risk to become more explosive. You're just going to fall back on what you're comfortable with. And I think that's probably where Iowa is headed. And I don't think it's all that much of a bad thing. They're probably going to go 9-3.
They won 10 games again last year, but like you say risk, how much of a risk is it? Their defense is always great. They're always really good in the trenches, always have a good tight end. What is the risk of trying to open it up a little bit more and be more explosive offensively? I don't see it.
I think what he's afraid of is you throw a couple interceptions, you put your defense on the field. I mean, seriously, you put your defense on the field for longer stretches of the game, maybe they wear down, and then maybe you're just lost and you don't know what your identity is anymore. But, I mean, there's never been a situation where Iowa's had a dynamic playmaker at quarterback. They've never had dynamic, really, playmakers at wide receiver. I mean, their best offensive players over the years have been tight ends and offensive linemen. And honestly, that's kind of what they need to get back to, is being good at what they're good at. Because last year they managed to win 10 games even without great offensive line play, even without a 1,000-yard back. And if they can creep back towards that, I do think it gets easier to open it up and sling it around a little bit. But honestly, I just don't think that Kirk Ferentz is ever going to change. And if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong, and I'll believe it when I see it. But I think Iowa's going to be Iowa, and I think that's going to be a defense and special teams type of team.
But what I don't get is, like, it's not always been like this for Iowa. Like, Nate Stanley aired it out a little bit. That was a pretty prolific offense. They beat Ohio State 55-24 one year. Hung 55 on Ohio State. Ricky Stanzi back in the day, that was a decent offense. I just don't understand why it's just completely fallen off a cliff and why he just doesn't care to try to revert back or get back to where he has been in the past offensively.
Yeah, I wonder to a certain extent, like, how much of it is the ability to recruit. And now it's like a death spiral, because if you're a talented, skilled player, now the reputation and the jokes are out there about Iowa.
I'm not even thinking about an offer if they offer me. I'm just not.
Maybe a decade ago, that reputation wasn't so bad, and you could get talked into going to play at Iowa. And now, if you're a back or a receiver with any pop or any wiggle in your game, you're looking at their numbers and you're thinking, I think I'd rather go play at Purdue, where they actually will sling it around a little bit, or go play anywhere else, anywhere I can get touches, anywhere I can rack up some yards and try and impress NFL scouts. And until Tim Lester is able to do that as the offensive coordinator at Iowa, I do think they're going to struggle to attract legitimate skill talent.
I think it'll be a little bit different. Tim Lester's not like a complete dead body as an OC. Like, he's definitely better than Brian Ferentz. He did a good job with David Blough at Purdue not too long ago, where they were airing it out pretty good.
Yeah, it's just a matter of does Kirk Ferentz give him full reign to run that offense and to open it up a little bit. And that's where my questions are. That's where the doubts come in, because even when his son's job was literally on the line and they were contractually obligated to score points and produce offensively, they couldn't do it. So how much of that is on Brian Ferentz? How much of that is on Kirk holding the reins tight and saying, no, this is the way we're going to be? And so it's a big hire. I mean, you go out and you get Tim Lester, and this guy's been around high levels of football and in big-time positions. He's been a college football head coach in the past. And I can't imagine that guy's going to be real happy to sit there and throw the ball 12 times a game and never take shots downfield and just rely on his punter. So, you know, there's a give and a take there. And you know, I don't know how that plays out is anyone's guess, but, you know, my money's on Kirk Ferentz being Kirk Ferentz.
Now, Deshaun Foster at UCLA, that opening statement left a lot to be desired, David. I'm going to play it a little bit later in the show, but he said, you probably don't know a lot about us at UCLA. We're really excited, but we're in LA. That's where we're based out of. And then he stopped talking for. He said USC's there as well. Then he stopped talking for a while, and he said, "I'm just excited. You have any questions?" He didn't. That was, I mean, from first Big Ten media day, trying to go win the press conference. He did anything but.
That was tough to watch. It's like you get up there in front of the Big Ten Media Days crowd, and it's probably your biggest press conference since you were introduced. The difference, though, is that when you were introduced, they played the fight song, the cheerleaders were there, there were boosters in the room clapping at everything you said. You probably had a lot of people wearing blue and gold in that introductory press conference. And this is the closest thing he's had to that. He shows up and it's just a bunch of stone-faced people who have already heard seven press conferences during the day. And he's expecting maybe some applause or some smiles. And he's just probably gets thrown off script a little bit when he gets up there and realizes what he's facing.
Maybe a couple of notes. Just jot them down. I'm sure that somebody at UCLA gave him the opportunity to, like, ask them to write an opening statement for him. Right. But he probably said, "Oh, it's fine. I'll be okay." He gets up there, sees those faces in the crowd, and just freezes beyond belief.
Yeah, you wonder how much of the blame for that falls on the sports information staff. They've got to prepare him for that. You got an entire cross-country flight to get ready for those remarks, which are essentially your introduction to the country, your introduction to fans outside of your own fan base. So you got to have something prepared. You got to be, even if it's only a minute and a half or something, you got to have some notes that you can look down to. So that was rough. But I'll say this: we've seen coaches really struggle in those environments in the past. I always flash back to Kirby Smart's first year at SEC Media Days. He just seemed uncomfortable. That was, you know, because when you coach in the Nick Saban tree and you don't get to talk to the media, and it's a hey head coach only sort of situation, maybe some players every now and then, you don't get those reps in front of the media as an assistant. And that's all Kirby Smart had known, was being an assistant for Saban. Now all of a sudden he's the head coach at Georgia, and man, he looked really uncomfortable. Now I'm not saying that Deshaun Foster is going to turn into Kirby Smart, but yeah. I'm saying if he makes it to year five at UCLA, I think we'll see a much different version of him in those settings in the future.
Yeah, and I don't want to completely write off Deshaun Foster before his era begins, but they hired him out of necessity. Late, Chip Kelly leaves, the whole thing. He ends up as the OC at Ohio State. We know how it all figured itself out. I thought it was a pretty unserious hire, though. What did you think when the hire was made? I know he was an All-American there. They, you know, homegrown son, I get all that. But he's never been anything but a GA or a running back coach.
It feels sort of like a stopgap hire. We lost our head coach later than you would like. We're transitioning to a new conference. If we try to go hire outside right now, we're going to lose our entire roster to the transfer portal. And there's not going to be enough left in the transfer portal at this time for us to replenish our roster. I think that probably influenced the hire quite a bit. If you promote from within and choose a guy who has relationships with the current roster and who recruited a lot of the current roster, it increases your odds of retention. And that's probably what they were thinking when they went with Deshaun Foster. Because, I mean, there's nothing on his resume at this point that suggests he's ready for a power conference job, let alone a job in the Big Ten. And let's be real, the circumstances are far from ideal because Chip Kelly left that job. He wasn't fired. He left.
Yep.
He looked at the schedule. He looked at the conference transition. He looked at his roster, and he said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to be an offensive coordinator. And, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the status of the UCLA job right now, and it's unfortunate for Deshaun Foster because it's one of those situations where you almost feel like the guy is set up to fail.
Well, a stopgap heading into the Big Ten seems really ridiculous. We've seen a lot of programs who have made that step make coaching changes to make that step. And UCLA completely bucked against that trend, went the complete opposite way. It just seems like a very bold strategy to me to try to go, okay, we're going to stopgap. We're going to try to retain this roster heading into the toughest schedule that they're going to play, really, maybe in program history.
It strikes me as a lack of foresight from the administration. You got to have a pulse on what Chip Kelly is thinking and whether or not he might leave. And then you've got to have a quick trigger on him in November, late November or in December. There was nothing about UCLA's results last season that suggested, well, we got to keep Chip Kelly. I mean, right. Well, he did oh so well. He went 8-5, right? Like, you don't have to keep that coach in this era. I'm not sure what the buyout numbers were, and I know UCLA's in a tough financial position, but that's poor leadership and poor foresight, because the athletic administration has to know that if Chip Kelly's looking around and he's jumping to the NFL, or heck, who would have seen him jump into a college job? I don't know, but that's something that I think falls on the administration to a certain degree, because in that moment, they have no choice really but to promote from within. And DeAnton Lynn left, to go be the defensive coordinator at USC. Maybe he would have been a logical choice. Well, at that point, he's gone. So who are you going to pick? You end up picking Deshaun Foster. Hope you keep the roster together and just sort of grin and bear it your first couple of years in the league.
Yep. Talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X College Football and College Basketball for CBS Sports. Now, the Rose Bowl committee is doing a Rose Bowl committee thing. They requested that the college football playoff keep them in the same time and date that they've always had for a permanent deal. 5 p.m. Eastern, January 1st. They want everyone to sort of bend the knee to them. What did you think about this? This was sort of put out there by the committee chair for the Rose Bowl, Laura Farber at Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, I'm not at all surprised. This is the Rose Bowl's MO. They are the granddaddy of them all, and they like that, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay if the Rose Bowl stays at its traditional slot, and it is the most prestigious bowl game. It is college football's most historic postseason game, and I'm glad we've preserved it into the college football playoff. And if they want to keep doing their thing at their time, I mean, I'm okay with it. It's not to me a huge deal. But if I'm the Fiesta Bowl or
yes.
the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl, I'm
right.
like, come on, guys, really? I mean, y'all are gonna flex on us like this? So that's, I think, a little frustrating, but to the extent that we can preserve college football tradition, I'm okay with that, because a lot of that tradition is starting to fall by the wayside.
Well, but isn't the Rose Bowl tradition already cooked? Like, that's my biggest issue. You're not going to be guaranteed Pac-12 because Pac-12's no longer a conference versus Big Ten. It's not going to be East versus West. Like, I don't know. It's just like this extreme hubris that I don't think works in today's day and age of college football. You want to uphold tradition, I understand that. But when tradition and all of those barriers have already been broken, I don't know if you should continue to go down that path. I think the Pac-12 tried to do that. I'm not saying the Rose Bowl is going to go away and be like some, secondary bowl game because they're requesting this. But the Pac-12 lost out because they wanted to preserve tradition, and they had that hubris that completely kills you in college football. I feel like the Rose Bowl needs to learn a lesson from that.
Well, you're right, because college football can move on without the Rose Bowl. College football would
exactly.
be fine without the Rose Bowl. If the Rose Bowl ceased to exist and we just called every college football playoff game, quarterfinal, semifinal,
And I know that sounds nuts to people, but it's the truth. We thought we needed the SEC on CBS. We thought we needed the BCS. We thought we needed regionality. All that stuff's done with, over with.
But to an older generation of fans, the bowl tie-ins, the bowl traditions, they still do mean something. And the Rose Bowl is still atop that heap. I mean, the bowls are waning in significance, and I am worried about like the mid and lower tier bowls and their relevance and survival in this new era to a certain extent. But if the Rose Bowl, if the college football playoff can make this work and they can accommodate the Rose Bowl without just completely bending over backwards and having to reformat the entire schedule and ending up in a situation where they're competing head-to-head against the NFL. Like, if we can do the Rose Bowl thing
sure.
and avoid those conflicts, I don't
but
have any problem.
Don't you think it'll piss people off? It'll piss the other bowls off. You already sort of mentioned that, but it will make them mad.
Well, that's the Rose Bowl. And every bowl has its own management system, its own CEO. It's its own – they're to a certain extent, their own business. And that's what we're seeing here is the Rose Bowl has this infrastructure and these backers and these old hats, these old suits that, you know, cling hard to that tradition, and they're not going to let that go. I mean, that's something that they are really passionate about, is having that sunset New Year's Day vibe. And that's, they must think that's valuable to them and valuable to selling tickets and valuable to having the Parade of Roses, is that consistency in the time slot and in the format. And so, I mean, that's a business decision that they're thinking about there, instead of, hey, we don't care. It's not them being a partner and trying to accommodate everybody
right.
else. It's them running a business and trying to maximize their profit.
But again, that could definitely rub some people the wrong way who are also trying to, they're making concessions to their bowl game to try to fit into the new system, and the Rose Bowl saying, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all. You guys can do that. We want to uphold tradition, and we feel like we are deserving of that. You guys, not necessarily. So I just think there could be a conflict there. We'll see how it all plays out. Now, final thing, Memphis football picked the top, the AAC media poll, 23 of 30 first place votes. It's the first time they have ever been at the top of any conference's media poll. Obviously, that's going to come with a lot of pressure. I think Ryan Silverfield has said, I know that the media, it's all well and good that the media is happy and thinks that we can run this conference, but we haven't done a thing yet. I think he's got the right mindset about it. But is there any way that you can make this anything less than the most important year in Memphis football history? Because that's what it feels like to me.
It's hard to surmise a year being more significant than this one. Now, I mean, obviously, in retrospect, the year you make the Cotton Bowl
huge
is huge. Yeah, I mean, it's a foundation-setting breakthrough moment. And if this season doesn't produce the desired results, then we look back, and I think that Cotton Bowl season still stands above. But there's just so much potential. There's so much room to maximize what the program could be this year, and it feels like that window. It's almost kind of like this is the window for Ole Miss. This is the year for Ole Miss. This is the year and the window for Memphis. Obviously, you have Antoine Hill committed, and he's going to be great and do great things in the future, but he's going to be a true freshman next season. And you have a veteran quarterback right now in Seth Hennigan. He's comfortable with a lot of the players that are around him. They did a really good job of retaining and also adding. And so it's a huge year. I do want to keep reminding people, though, Gabe, that this schedule does have some landmines on it. It's not a brutal schedule, but there are some potential, not even trap games. There's just some straight up difficult games.
Five away games against your five toughest opponents.
I mean, exactly. And so
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's the reality. There are no guarantees. They are a substantial favorite in this preseason poll, but it's not a situation where Georgia is picked ahead in the SEC and there's no logical alternative, right? There's been times in years past where Clemson was picked in the ACC to win the whole thing and there was no logical alternative. I mean, there's logical alternatives that you could pick over Memphis in this thing. And Tulane is still going to be pretty good. UTSA has been really good. But obviously, there is a lot of hype surrounding Memphis right now, and it's up to them to translate that hype into victories.
Yes, they need to keep that positive momentum, and I think that brand exposure, if they do get to the college football playoff, that will go a long way to getting into a bigger conference. That is obvious, captain of the obvious speaking, but seriously, I think that the brand exposure is at a good level right now. You look at College Football 25, a lot of people are playing with them. They like the uniform combinations. They like the team. It's very enjoyable for them. Playing at the Liberty Bowl, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium is fun. But getting yourself exceeding expectations this year, keeping that positive momentum rolling, I think that brand exposure, I think it can only just go higher and higher and get through the roof. And making yourself undeniable to some of these bigger conferences is pretty massive. And I think you could accomplish that this year.
Yeah, no doubt. You're on the doorstep right now, and with a good season, you could very well break that door down pretty forcefully and make your case and just show up in the foyer, more or less, and leave them with no choice. And that's, that seems like a possibility this year. So there is definitely a lot riding on this Memphis football season.
No question. Well, David, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on.
No problem. Thank you.
We will do it again Friday with David Cobb, but he is David Cobb from CBS Sports, college football and college basketball writer for them on X at David W. Cobb. Now, you want another reminder as to why there is a changing dynamic here at the University of Memphis and really in NIL and college athletics in general. Connor, did you see the news here from on 3 NIL on Memphis quarterback commit Antoine Hill Jr.? He is the latest to sign a trading card deal with Leaf. The 4-star recruit and top 250 prospect deal is between $600,000 and $750,000. He's rep by Peterson Sports right now. They hatched this deal. That is $600,000 to $750,000 without having stepped on campus at Memphis and without having gotten any of the NIL collective money. This could be a million-dollar quarterback by year one or year two here at Memphis if he ultimately signs.
Good for him.
That's nuts.
Holy crap.
That's
Let me hold the dollar,
nuts.
Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But good for him. Seriously, that is awesome to see. Antoine Hill, again, signed a trading card deal with Leaf worth $600,000 to $750,000. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Hands, the money going into the hands of the people that have been creating it over the years. So that's great. I love it as a former athlete. Now, David Cobb just joined us, and he's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Very convenient location with a kind and courteous staff off June Road on Poplar. Off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact. 2-story storefront. Top floor is going to be all the hunting and outdoor essentials, so you can go and get that. But on the bottom floor, you're going to have the sports memorabilia with those autographs. Maybe they'll have an Antoine Hill Jr. thing here before long that you can go take advantage of and buy. They have, again, that vintage vinyl for the music lovers, and they have the best clothing that money can buy. I mean, in the best brands. Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Main. They have polos. They have button-downs. They have great slacks, great shorts. That you can go buy, and it's beautiful stuff. And your favorite teams as well. They have Grizzlies, Tigers. They have your SEC favorites. You can get Ole Miss, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. And if you get to the Grove or you get to Tiger Lane this year, they have your tailgating gear. Cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, all there, conveniently placed, 964 June Road. And know what else is there? A-list celebrity Earl the Dog. Go pat him on the head, tell him Gabe sent you. And you can also tell them Gabe sent you online. You can't tell them, you know, using your voice, but you can tell them using my promo code. Go to shopoxbow.com, and when you go to checkout, fill up that shopping cart with whatever your heart desires. Use my promo code, TheGabeShow. All caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow. You'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. Whether you're going online or in store, 2964 June Road. Remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now, I know we already talked about it with David Cobb, but Deshaun Foster, new UCLA head coach, stepped up to the podium for his first big Big Ten media days. And his opening statement left a lot to be desired. We'll play that and react to it next. 92.9 FM ESPN. Pair to cringe. Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It was UCLA's first time participating in Big Ten media days today. We know Chip Kelly stepped away to be the OC at Ohio State, and replacing him is a former All-American at UCLA, played some time in the NFL with the Panthers, notably Deshaun Foster is the new coach at UCLA. And let's just say he was not ready for the moment.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. it's us and USC. I'm just basically excited. That's it. Any questions?
That is new head coach, man, at UCLA, Deshaun Foster. I'm cringing as we speak. All I got to say is, buddy, you had a chance probably for your SID department, for one of your SID to throw together an opening statement for you. You clearly denied it. But with that, bring up a piece of paper. Bring up some talking points, some note cards, something. Something. Again, it does not mean that he's going to flail around at UCLA, that his opening statement sucked. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But damn, I felt bad for the guy when I watched that clip. That was very, very tough to sit through and watch. And I know there was a bunch of blank faces. I know there's a lot of blank faces at Big Ten Media Days. He did not handle that very well.
I feel bad for him. I really do, because I think he just got nervous in the moment and he shut down. I think he misstepped when he said, you may not know a lot about UCLA. It's in L.
It's in
Los Angeles. Los Angeles. It's like, yes, we know that. Yes,
USC's there, so is there too.
It seemed like he fumbled, and then he probably had something in his head that he wanted to say, and then once he heard it out loud, he was like, oh no, that sounded really dumb, and then he froze. So just stage fright. I've seen it happen so many times. I feel bad for him.
He
could have
just stepped up and said, any questions? I'm not going to have an opening statement. It would have been better than that nonsense.
After the you may not know a lot about UCLA, any questions so I can tell you? That would have been like a not a great transition, but at least would have gotten him out of just silence. Like, it was because, you know, I have nightmares, a producer in radio, and I'm sure a host in radio. We have nightmares about what they call dead air. There was so much dead air in this minute and 12. And then you laugh, and that's where you know that he's like panicking on the inside. And to be quite honest, I think David Cobb had a tremendous point. He is used to, you know, UCLA, people being behind him, they're cheering, and he's seeing blue and gold, and it's his people, and, you know, he's getting positive reaction, smiles on the faces. He's probably not getting that at all at Big Ten Media Day. So it's just, I think he just froze in the moment. I feel bad for him.
Everything about this hire, though, and everything about the UCLA program seems like they're just flailing around and just...
If you're a fan today, you're like, oh no!
Oh, God. it's not a good speaker for the program, but he's an All-American. They made a hire out of necessity and not to actually grow their program heading into the Big Ten. That's a frustrating reality of it. You had Chip Kelly step down. You had a shorter, you know, offseason to go hire somebody and you had to land on a guy who was already there. You wanted the continuity. It does feel like he's going to be a stopgap for the next coach that comes in at UCLA. But also, on the UCLA front, they're going to have to pony up, find a lot more just general support for that program. Their NIL situation is falling behind. They're falling behind as a program. And this hire definitely reflects that. And I feel bad for Deshaun Foster. Certainly feel bad about the statement today. But I do feel bad about what he's getting himself into in the Big Ten, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very, very hard. Now, another thing that came up today, and Lincoln Riley, who was part of the Mike Leach coaching tree, he spoke on this. And there's been a lot of discussion about Mike Leach not getting into the College Football Hall of Fame because of the technicality of having to be a 60% win percentage head coach. And Lincoln Riley said, Mike Leach meant a lot to my career. There's a lot of debate about him belonging in the College Football Hall of Fame. I want to voice my support. He changed a lot of people's lives, mine included, and belongs in the Hall of Fame. We know he passed away in 2022 after the season at Mississippi State. But when you just look at the support, overwhelming support he's gotten at SEC Media Days and Big Ten Media Days, I'm really hoping the switch happens soon and the College Football Hall of Fame can reconsider what they classify as a Hall of Fame coach. You don't have to win 60% of your games. He was at Texas Tech. He was at Washington State. Neither of those programs have seen the level of success that he was able to bring to them. The air raid offense still percolates through every level of football, high school, youth, college, no doubt about it. And then in the NFL, we're starting to see it as well. We see air raid quarterbacks. Kyler Murray is in the league with a massive deal. He's gotten a lot of people paid. And then you think about his coaching tree, how expansive it is. And there should be no doubt about this guy getting himself etched in the College Football Hall of Fame at some point. Like, these coaches, Lincoln Riley, Sonny Dykes, Josh Heupel, Dave Aranda, Dana Holgorsen, Neil Brown, Sonny Cumbie, Cliff Kingsbury. It just goes on and on and on. When you have that type of impact on the game, there should be absolutely no doubt about your place in history in college football. And it's a shame right now that the College Football Hall of Fame has not switched it already. I would imagine that it's coming, but it needs to happen soon.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with everything that you just said.
No doubt about it. So we'll see what happens. But I was glad to see even at SEC Media Days and Lincoln Riley at Big Ten Media Days speak up on his behalf, because you need people to speak up to make change, and hopefully that change happens here relatively soon. Now, there was a change to the schedule of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've extended it for a week, so get over there. Get over there. Up to 40% off all engagement rings, and you can win a free vacation with every purchase of $24.95 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It absolutely will end on August 3rd. They've extended it out for you. They have trips. Spend $24.95 or more. You can get a three-night hotel stay in places like Myrtle Beach, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Miami. $49.95 or more, $500 airfare credit, three-night resort stay, Mexico, Dominican Republic, some Caribbean islands. $79.95 or more, four-night carnival cruise, $200 onboard credit. So get over, take advantage of all the deals for the Summer of 1,000 engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And you can ask now and pay later with great financing options. They have 24 months no interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay with a low APR. They have no stress over there. They know it's a big decision, so there's no dumb questions. You can ask any question, and they will answer it, and they won't make you feel dumb. And they have the meant-to-be guarantee, so that's also less stress. The meant-to-be guarantee, you can buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it. No questions asked. They have all choices in every budget. Natural diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, you will have options. And it's not just engagement rings on sale, although all of them are 40% off, up to 40% off. But you can get an anniversary ring, birthday ring, wedding band, I got the job ring, men's and women's styles are all there. But the Summer of 1,000 engagement rings, or engagements, and free Sunny Summer giveaway ends August 3rd. Everyone deserves beautiful jewelry, and everyone deserves a free vacation. Robert Irwin Jewelers is trying to handle that for you. There's five different locations in Memphis, or you can go online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now we need to wrap up hour number two right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, and we'll do that with small talk, so stick around.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, it looks like we're headed to a grudge match when it comes to the NBA TV media rights deal. We talked about it a little bit earlier where the NBA rejected Warner Brothers Discovery's match of Amazon's deal, the $1.8 billion that Amazon is spending per year to get NBA media rights. Now, TNT Sports and Warner Brothers Discovery has responded. Here's their statement. We have matched the Amazon offer as we have a contractual right to do and do not believe the NBA can reject it. In doing so, they're rejecting the many fans who continue to show their unwavering support for our best-in-class coverage, delivered through the full combined reach of Warner Brothers Discovery's video-first distribution platforms, including TNT, home to our 4-decade partnership with the league, and Max, our leading streaming service. We think they have grossly misinterpreted our contractual rights with respect to the 2025-26 season and beyond, and we will take appropriate action. We look forward, however, to another great season of the NBA and TNT, and NBA on TNT and Max, including our iconic Inside the NBA. They're going to use Inside the NBA as their biggest bargaining chip. That's what they're going to continue to do. But it looks like we're going to head towards some litigation. They're going to, what was the word? What did they say? We're going to take appropriate action. Now, what is appropriate here? I don't know. We're going to get into, my guess, get into court, fight it out a little bit. NBA gives you a settlement. You go away. We never see what happens, like, in the public. I think there's going to be some NDA signed. We're gone.
Yeah, like, as soon as we got off after talking about it, they released the statement. We were like, okay, I guess they are going to try to take it to court. But at the end of the day, I would have to assume what you just said is going to be what happens. They are probably going to get a settlement. They'll be able to save face a little bit. And then there will be an NDA, and we'll never find out what happened. It's just because it makes absolutely no sense for them to take the NBA and Amazon to court. They don't have the money to do it.
I know I said David Zaslav operates in bad faith and negotiates in bad faith. The NBA clearly was in bad
100%.
Faith. They never wanted Warner Brothers. No. They didn't want to work with David Zaslav. They don't want to work with Warner Brothers Discovery anymore. They want to move on.
Like I said, they probably just misspelled something. And they were like, oh, it doesn't match.
Yeah.
The font was different than it should have been.
That's a colon. It should have been a semicolon.
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing? You guys don't know.
There's a run-on sentence.
You don't know your head from your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Now, I brought up yesterday how the Jets were unserious because it seems like they're relatively unserious. They have the longest playoff drought in the NFL right now. Since 2010, they have not been in the NFL playoffs. And then Hassan Reddick yesterday mentioned that he was going to hold out at Jets camp. He's in the final year of his 3-year, $45 million deal. Two things that I learned overnight that made this even more unserious for the Jets. One, the Jets were under the impression, just because they traded for him, that he'd play out the last year of his deal no matter what his contract situation was.
What?
That's what they thought.
That's insane.
Why did they think that? But then, two, the Jets also aren't planning on negotiating unless he shows up to training camp. What are you guys doing? The funniest part of this whole thing is they would have had more leverage had they not traded John Franklin Myers, their starting DN from last year, away this offseason. They have no real leverage. Bryce Huff is gone. John Franklin Myers is gone. And their edge depth stinks. My assumption here is that maybe they did have Hassan Reddick and his agency say, listen, we're going to try to get a deal done. If you don't get it done, he'll still play 1 year under $15 million for you guys. But when they traded away their DN depth, they're like, well, we have all the leverage now. Pay me or I'm not playing. Pay me or your team's going to stink. Pay me or that defensive end spot that you want me to take is going to be one of the worst in the NFL. The Jets are very unserious.
We do have to remember, this is the NFL team, after Aaron Rodgers went down, that said, we're good, we have Zach Wilson.
Yep.
That is the same NFL team, the same people running it.
Can I be honest, though? Do we feel bad for Robert Saleh as a head coach?
A little bit. He's a better head coach than he's, I think, been able to show.
Really good defensive coordinator. Did a really good job.
He also might be a bit of a yes man, though. He needs to push. It sounds like
they haven't. Well, but it's interesting. The Jets, last time they made the playoffs, we're talking about Sexy Rexy. He was there in 2010. And he was not a yes man. Like, he'd push back against. But we saw that unfold quickly.
Sure.
If you don't win as a yes man, you get fired immediately. And that's what happened to Rex Ryan. I think Robert Saleh, most everybody they've hired since then is a yes man.
I will say, he hasn't had a fair shot of it, though. It feels like that this season's the first one where it's like, we're going to find out how good of a coach he really is. He did a good job. I mean, last year with the defense was good, you know.
But, like, for him, he just has to deal with nonsense. Complete nonsense every offseason. Aaron Rodgers, this Hassan Reddick situation, why did you think he was going to play? You traded away everybody that could have competed with him. Why did you think he was going to play for $15 million? I don't get it. Now he has to show up for you to even negotiate? This is a joke. Huge joke. Now we're off to hour number three, and we're going to start talking some Memphis football. Memphis football with the color analyst from Memphis football, a Memphis legend. He was put into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame in 2022. I mean, I'm going to say his name, but you know it already. That's Jarvis Greer. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.